Open your Bibles, if you would, to Luke chapter 2. I had Brother Tim read the portion of Scripture there. It's all about the incarnation of Christ. And this is what the message is about today. The incarnation of Christ and the reason why He came to this world. The name of the message is the Angel's Song. Marvel at these wonderful Scriptures here in verses 9 to 12. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, oh, I love these two words, don't you? You who are a blood-bought saint of God, fear not. Fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And note the instructive words in this text. The instructive words in the next, look at verses 13 and 14, and note the instructive words here from the angels is the opening note of their proclamation of their song is glory to God in the highest. And suddenly, verse 13, there were with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward man. When you consider the humble appearance of Christ, in which Christ was born, He was born in a lowly stable. There was no room at the inn for Him. But how these words of the angels speak of the glorious greatness of His person. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Angels, and it says in the text, a multitude of them, though only one came forward to the Jewish shepherds to be the speaker, came from heaven to proclaim the wonders of Christ's birth. The wonders of Christ's birth. And the end of His life in salvation. We'll see that. These words speak of salvation in Christ. And look at the burden of their message, beloved. And how instructive it is to us. Glory to God in the highest. He gets all the glory. He gets all the honor. He receives the preeminence. Glory to God in the highest. They give glory to our great God. They give glory to our great God. Because the salvation of God's people is founded in Christ, isn't it? And not only founded in Him, but it's in Him. It's in Christ Jesus, our great God. Our great God. He completed the work. The God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ, He completed the work of salvation for His people. So therefore, we're to give glory to God, aren't we? Glory to God. Oh my. Man is but a receiver of the mercies of God. We're but receivers of the mercy of God, beloved. Oh, that God would give sinners eyes to see the great mercy of God on display in the sacrifice of Christ. Oh, if you don't have eyes to see, oh, that He'd give you eyes to see. To look upon the great substitute. Look on the greatest manifestation of the love that this world has ever seen when Christ died on Calvary's cross for the sins of His people. And what a lesson, again, what an instructive lesson is to be learned from these opening notes of the angel's song. Salvation is of the Lord. It's God who gets all the glory again. When God gives one eyes to see to look to Christ by faith, you know what it does? It makes an end of all pharisaical righteousness that we thought we could accomplish. It makes an end of it. And what do we see? We see our desperate need for Christ, don't we? We see our desperate need for Christ. And then we see that all that a sinner needs is found in Christ. That truth will never change. All that a sinner needs is found in Christ. Nowhere else. It's not in Buddha. It's not in Muhammad. It's not in Mary. It's not in all those false gods of the world. All that a sinner needs is found in Christ. Period. Nowhere else. Nowhere else. And think of this. We'll look at this later. The infinite became a man. We can't even really fathom it with our minds, can we? The infinite God, who holds all things, holds all things together by the word of His power, who spoke all things into existence. The infinite one became a man. And He became a man not to give people a fire escape out of hell, He became a man to do that which is impossible for us. We can't save ourselves from our sins, can we? No one can. Christ came to save His people from their sins. That's the whole reason He came here. To glorify God. My. And remember, we're called His bride. What love He has for His bride. That He would give His life for us. Now we know that He's glorified when the sun rises, isn't He? Every day the sun rises, or every day that a new day comes, we who are His people glorify Him, don't we? And we see Him, we see His work all over the place, don't we? We have some lakes that no one else has in this world, that we can go and stand by the shores and just look in awe at what He made. It's like an inland sea, beloved. And there's five of them. Oh my. It's wondrous. We can go up north and just see the grandeur up north. In the trees and all the... You can go anywhere in this world and see His handiwork as believers. We can, can't we? And it's absolutely incredible. And we're in awe of it. Think of a flower that blossoms in the middle of a forest that no one sees. It grows, it blossoms, and it dies. And it brings glory to God. Because He's the creator of all things. Even though no one sees it, it brings glory to God. Even if it's never seen by man. God is glorified in all His creation. Because everything relies upon Him. Turn, if you would, to Psalm 104. Everything relies on Him. Whether people believe it or not, the very breath they breathe, the very food they eat, the very clothes they wear on their back come from Him. Everything. Everything. Whether people acknowledge it or not, the birds rely on Him. We see it in nature, don't we? And not even a sparrow, not even one of them little beautiful little birds falls to the ground without Him knowing. Not one. And oh, how He provides for them. So all of creation relies upon Him. The deer in the forest or in the fields, the tiny minnow in the sea, they all rely upon Him. The great blue whale, they all rely upon Him. Because they are created by Him and for Him to manifest His glory. Look at Psalm 104. Look at verses. We'll read verses 10 to 28. He sendeth the springs to the into the valleys and which run among the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild asses quench their thirst. It all comes from him. By them shall the fowls of the heaven, the birds of the heaven, have their habitation, which sing among the branches. He watereth the hills from his chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of thy works. He causes the grass to grow for the cattle. We eat the cattle, don't we? But he causes the grass to grow for them, that they might be nourished. And the earth for the service of man, that he might bring forth food out of the earth, and wine that maketh glad the heart of man, and oil to make his face to shine, and bread which strengtheneth man's heart. The trees of the Lord are full of sap, the cedars of Lebanon which he hath planted, where the birds make their nest. As for the stork, the fir trees are her house. The high hills are a refuge for the wild goats, and the rocks for the conies. Look at this. He appointed the moon for seasons. The sun knoweth his going down. Thou makest darkness, and it is night, wherein all the beasts of the forest do creep forth. Look at this again. The young lions roar after their prey and seek their meat from God. The sun riseth, they gather themselves together and lay them down in their dens. Man goeth forth unto his work and to his labor until the evening. O Lord, how manifold are thy works in wisdom. Thou hast made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. There go the ships. There is that Leviathan whom thou hast made to play therein. I often think of the whales. One time I was out with my father-in-law, who is a fisherman, and we went up into the captain's house. And we were on the sea, and all these, we're just going up and down in the sea. And he goes, look, a blue whale. And out came this blue whale of water. Magnificent. Magnificent. And I often think of that when I read that, whom thou hast made to play therein. Oh my. Look at this though. Look at these next two verses. These wait upon thee, that thou mayest give them their meat in due season. That thou givest them, they gather. Thou openest thy hand, they are filled with good. And that's for every creature, beloved. That's for every creature. I love that. Thou, you know, and that's the almighty hand of power, isn't it? Thou openest thy hand, and they are filled with good. Oh, what mercy our God has, even upon those who hate him. Oh, my. So the eternal word. Let's go back to Luke chapter 2 and look at verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. That means rescuer. That means a rescuer. And again, he rescued his people from their sins. We were doomed by our sins. The law finds us guilty. The law of God, the justice of God says they must die. And what does Christ do? The Savior, the rescuer. He goes to Calvary and dies in the room and place of his people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. And oh, what a mighty Savior he is. What's his name? Christ the Lord. Christ the Lord. Period. One way. One way to glory. One way to be saved from our sins. One mediator between God and man. The man, Christ Jesus. All other ways are the broad road to destruction. And if you're following those ways, it'll lead to the damnation of your soul. You will be doomed for eternity. But oh my, for the believer, he's my Savior. He's my rescuer. He rescued me. I had no desire for him. I was not looking for him. I know it was so with you. We were not looking for the Lord when he saved us. He found us. We were the lost sheep. We were the lost sheep. And he came and found us. And what does he do? When the shepherd finds that lost sheep, I love this story. He finds that lost sheep, he picks that lamb up, and he puts him on his neck. And as one old grace preacher said, I love it, he does that so the little lamb can look at his face. Oh my. And then we spend the rest of our lives, don't we, as believers, looking to Christ. Looking to our Savior. We do. He's wonderful. Oh my. So the eternal Word of God, the second person of the Trinity, the infinite one, becomes a man in order that God might be just and the justifier of him that believeth on Christ. The question is, do you believe on Christ? Number one, are you a sinner? Has God shown you that you're a sinner? We who are believers will testify to anyone who does not know Christ that before we were saved, we did not know we were sinners. We thought sinners were them bad folks that are in the prison. Didn't we? We always justified ourselves saying, well, I'm not as bad as that person over there. You want someone... There was actually a guy that it's funny because when I was in religion, I thought of that. There was a guy when growing up, and I won't say his name, he lived just down the street from us. But man, he was a bad guy. He'd go around stealing Christmas lights, so everybody got so mad at him in the neighborhood. They get so mad at him. He'd go and take all the bulbs, but he'd say, Mr. Boyd, my dad, he liked my dad. He said, Mr. Boyd, I won't steal your Christmas lights. And my dad always told him, Charlie, you need to go put those all back. But he was, but see, when I was a kid, he was a bad kid. Little did I know until the Lord revealed himself to me, I was just as bad as him. And I'm worse. And a believer will tell you, we struggle more with sin now than we ever have before. Right? Is it so? Is it so? We do, don't we? Oh my, it's a constant war. But praise be to God, we have a rescuer. We have a Savior, don't we? He's had mercy on us. And he was born this day when the angels made this proclamation in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. What power is on display here? What power is on display here that God should unrobe himself, the infinite one, and become a man? And become a man. What love is on display here? We saw a picture of him a few weeks ago in Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6, do you remember that? Let's turn there real quick. Now, let's get a glimpse of Christ in glory. What he looked like before he came to this earth. This will, Isaiah chapter 6. My, oh my. Isaiah chapter 6. And this is, what power, what love, what majesty. And the fact that he became a man is displayed. Look at this, Isaiah chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. And his train filled the temple. That's Christ on that throne, beloved. That's Christ. That's the Word of God. The second person of the Trinity. Look at this. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face. And with twain he covered his feet. And with twain he did fly. The holy angels cover themselves in his presence. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, 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 the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Holy, holy, holy. Our great triune God is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, what's Isaiah's response in seeing this vision of our Savior before he comes to this earth? He says, woe is me. Woe is me. I'm undone. See, he's not saying, well, woe is that person and woe is that person. He says it later. He says, I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. So he sees the total depravity of men. But what's his first response? Woe is me. Woe is me. Because I am a man of unclean lips and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen who? The King. What's one of Christ's titles? The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Prince of Peace. Seeing the King, the Lord of Hosts, then flew one of the seraphims out unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. That's a picture of the blood of Christ right there. That's a picture of the blood of Christ right there. That coal, oh my, look at that. And thine iniquity is taken away and thy sin purged. My goodness, wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. So what, as the hymn writer wrote, the love of God which drew salvation's plan, oh, the love that brought it down to man. We see it on display right here. Right here in our text. We also see the faithfulness of our great Savior too. Because we know from Scripture that He's the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, don't we? So we see the faithfulness of our God when He comes into this sin-cursed world to redeem His chosen bride, to save us by His precious blood. We see His faithfulness on display as well. And what love is revealed to us when Jesus becomes a man. How many promises and prophecies are fulfilled that day? Oh, His name shall be Emmanuel, Prince of Peace. My. All the fullness of God dwelt in Christ bodily. And therefore the Father said in heaven, listen to these words of the Father about Christ. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And you know what? God the Father is well pleased with all who are in Christ. Well pleased. Because of Christ, for Christ's sake. Listen to these words from the book of Isaiah. And note that they proclaim, in light of Matthew 3:17, where it said, This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. In Isaiah 42:21, the Scriptures declare this, The Lord is well pleased for His righteousness' sake, for Christ's sake. He will magnify the law and make it honorable. And that's what Christ did, didn't He? He magnified the law and He honored the law of God in the place of His people. And God is pleased with the Lord Jesus Christ for His righteousness' sake. It is He who magnified the law. It is He who made it honorable by His perfect life in the place of His people. And then He died in the place of His people as a perfect, sinless, spotless sacrifice. He honored the law, beloved. And He made it honorable for us. He's sinless. Law has no claim on Him. None at all. But oh, He dies as our substitute. So think upon these words then. Glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest. The angel song was an old, old song. Turn, if you would, to the book of Job, chapter 38. Do you know this was an old song, beloved? Those words, Glory to God in the highest. They're part of an old song. Do you know the angels sung that? One commentator said the angels had sung that strain before the foundation of the world. Oh my. Job chapter 38, verses 4 to 7. And we know that when them angels sang, they gave glory to God, didn't they? We know they did. They did it over there in Luke. And listen to these words in Job chapter 38, verses 4 to 7. Where was thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? That's what the Lord did. Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measure thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Oh, singing glory to God is an old song for the angels, beloved. They've shouted for joy from before the foundation of the world. And then they proclaim these words to man found in our text. They proclaim the same words. They proclaim these words when the foundation of the earth were laid. They said, glory be to God. They shouted for joy. But note what is also included in Luke. Note what's also included. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward man. Now think upon this. Peace with God. There was peace with God in the Garden of Eden, wasn't there? When Adam walked in the garden, there was peace at that time. And glory was given to God. But when man fell, and since the day when the Lord God drove him out of Eden and placed the cherubim with a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life, there's been no peace with God. No peace on earth. Save in the breasts of believers who have attained peace of heart and conscience even from the promise of the incarnation of Christ. We know Abraham looked to Christ by faith. He looked to the Messiah. He looked for the coming seed of the woman. And at the fall, man was plunged into sin, beloved. Man was plunged into sin. Wars and strifes raged upon the earth. And still do today. Man slaughter themselves. And one another. And not only is there strife without, but there's strife within too, isn't there? Strife within. Struggles without. That's normal for the natural man. No peace. No peace. Up to the point of Christ coming since Adam fell, except again in the breasts of believers, in the hearts of believers. But now, the Savior had come. And the proclamation is made that the great peacemaker has come into this world. He's king in eternity, isn't he? We saw that in Isaiah 6. He's high upon the throne. You know that well he laid in that manger? He is king. When he lived his life on this world, he was king. When he hung on that cross, dying in the place of his people, he was king. You know where he is right now? Seated at the right hand of the Father as king. Oh, he's never stopped being king, beloved. Never. He just, the infinite laid aside his glory and became a man. And now he's back up in glory again. Oh, my. So we see a great proclamation here was made. Listen to what one commentator brings forth as the entrance of the Prince of Peace into our world. Seat thy sword, O man, seat thy sword, O conscience, for God has provided a way by which he can be at peace with man, and by which man can be at peace with God, and with his own conscience too. The gospel of the grace of God promises peace to every man or woman who flees to Christ. Peace. Peace with God. And it can be found nowhere else other than Christ. And I'm not talking about a peace that comes and goes. Have you ever noticed in this world, man is constantly looking for peace, rest. And have you ever noticed how the world runs on fear? Have you ever noticed that? How they stir people up about different things? Fear. Fear. What were the words of the angels? That one angel, what was his word? Fear not. Fear not. If one of us had an angel appear before us, we'd probably drop him to the floor. Just like the shepherds were quaking. They were afraid. We'd be the same place. And the angel of the Lord says, fear not. Fear not. Oh, this peace that is spoken of here is the peace of God. The scripture says it's called the peace of God which passes all understanding. And it shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, because he is the object of our faith. And we only have peace with God through Christ. Now, we can get worked up about the turmoils that's going on in the world, but when we get our eyes on Christ, right, everything else just fades away, doesn't it? We come in here, we worship our Lord, we don't think about the things going on in the world right now. We're thinking about Christ and the wondrous things that he's done. It's amazing. So peace with God only comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. And what peace this gives to one who's pardoned of all their sins. Pardoned of them all. All of them. It's wondrous. It's absolutely wondrous. Pardoned of all our sins before God. The very one who we sinned against is the very one in whom we receive pardon of our sins. That's not like the economy of man, is it? Someone sins against us, what's the first thing? I'm going to get him, right? That's natural man, isn't it? Natural man says that. That's natural man. That's not the new man, but that's natural man. Oh my. But the very one we sinned against, the Word of God, the second person of the Trinity, is the very one whom we receive our pardon through. The very one who died for us to satisfy his law and his justice. That's mercy. That's grace beyond human understanding. But it's true. And God gives his people an understanding, doesn't he? When we're born again of the Holy Spirit of God, we believe these truths. We're granted faith to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And you've heard me say it many times. Then we marvel for the rest of our lives that God forgave me. Me? My. And he did it by coming into this earth and dying on the cross in my place, the believer says. Wonder of wonders. Wonder of wonders. He's the great pardoner. And this forgiveness of sins comes through the atonement, doesn't it? As one commentator said, the marvelous at-one-ment. If you break that word up, at-one-ment. Between the guilty sinner and his righteous judge. And this is what the angels were singing of. When they said, peace on earth. peace on earth. The believing sinner has peace on this earth, don't we? We have peace on this earth right now through Christ. Through Christ. And then we also have peace with God for eternity through Christ. Let's read verse 14 again. Look, it says, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. So we see that the angels proclaimed glory to God and peace and goodwill toward men. How does God have goodwill toward men? What is the goodwill toward men spoken of here? Well, God has goodwill toward men because He sent His Son to die for us. In every born-again, blood-washed sinner, we need no greater proof of the kindness and the goodwill of God between the Creator and His subjects than Him sending His Son to die in the place of His people. To die in the place of guilty, hell-deserving sinners, because that's what we were. God's had goodwill towards us, hasn't He? We who believe. Oh my. And the believer in Christ thankfully proclaims that God's goodwill has been shown to us, knowing that we do not deserve it and knowing that we could never earn it. It comes to us by the free and sovereign grace of God in Christ. And note, the first note of the angel's song, it's Godward. Look at this. Glory to God in the highest. The first note of the angel's song is Godward. They give glory to He who shall have the preeminence. Glory to God in the highest. He gets it all. And then note then they speak of the peace which God sends down to man through the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at this. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace. And then, the third note, goodwill toward man, this speaks of the eternal covenant of grace, which is indeed goodwill shown toward men, toward chosen sinners. Towards chosen sinners, isn't it? Oh my. And again, we are but receivers of the mercy and grace of God. So there's a lot packed in this little verse. There's a lot packed in here. And think of this too, the angel's message assures us that God has goodwill toward men. It assures us that. It assures that there's peace on earth for God's people. It assures us that. And again, we know that it's only in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Nowhere else. So no wonder the angels proclaim God's glory. No wonder they give glory to God in the highest. Because it's God and God alone who's worthy of all the glory, honor, and praise. And it's only in Christ whom the Father's well pleased. That does away with all other religion, doesn't it? When He said, this is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. There goes everything else, including man's so-called free will and works. Boom, gone. God is only pleased with Christ. And then He's pleased with those who are in Christ. He's the head, and we're the body, beloved. And it's marvelous. Oh, poor bankrupt sinner, you and I have broken God's laws. But the Scriptures proclaim these words in the book of Isaiah, come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Remember the words of Paul, which we looked at last week? And this is the same time spoken of the angels too. Remember this. This is the same time spoken of the angels when they say glory to God in the highest and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. In the book of Galatians, remember Paul's words? But when the fullness of time was come. when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, sent from heaven. The one who was on that throne in Isaiah 6, sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions of sons, to purchase us, to rescue us. We were under the law. And He's purchased us with His precious blood. And our Lord did not come before His time. He was punctual, as one commentator said, to the appointed hour, to the appointed second. Turn, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Oh, He came at the exact time because the Scriptures say, lo, I come. Look at this in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 7 to 10. Speaking of our Savior. Then said I, lo, I come. He came into this world. He was sent on a mission. He was sent on, and He willingly came, beloved. Lo, I. Then said I, lo, I am come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will, O God. This book is all about Christ. From Genesis to Revelation, it's all about Christ. It's written about Christ. It's written about Christ. There's not the Old Testament for the Jews and in the New Testament for Christians. No, it's all for us, beloved. The promises are ours. The promises of God are ours in Christ. It's wonderful. When you read those Old Testament promises, they're for God's people, beloved. They're for God's people. It's wondrous. Because all the promises of God are what? In Christ. Yea and amen. Yea and amen in Christ. Look at this. Lo, then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. He came to do the will of God. And what's the will of God? To save His people from their sins. Above, when He said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadest pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said He, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that He may establish the second, by the which will we are all sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Once for all the elect of all the ages. Oh, He came to do the will of God. Aren't you thankful, you who are born again, a blood-washed saint of God? Aren't you thankful that it was the will of God for Christ to come to redeem you? I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful. I like what Scott Richardson said. He said, since I heard the good news, I've not heard any bad news. It's true, isn't it? We hear all this stuff going on, but we can just focus on Christ, beloved. Oh, what a Savior He is. What a Savior He is. And the birth of Christ was predicted. There were many prophecies in the Old Testament Scriptures which pointed with unerring fingers to the place, the manner, and the time when Shiloh would come. And the great sacrifice for sin should be offered. And the Lord Jesus Christ came at that very hour which God had determined. And thus the angels proclaimed, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill toward man. And ponder this, our all-knowing, all-powerful God appoints the date of every event. All times are in His hands. None are left to chance. As one preacher of the past brought forth, there are no loose threads in the providence of God. And no dropped stitches. The great clock of the universe keeps perfect time. And the whole machinery of providence moves with unerring punctuality. What a quote. So true, though, isn't it? Therefore, it should be expected that the greatest of all events would occur at the exact time it was appointed to occur. When the Word of God, the Infinite One, would become incarnate. Oh my, not only where was predicted, but when. And when was purposed and planned by God, and where was purposed and planned by God. And again, the ultimate reason why Christ came to this earth, to save his people from their sins. To save his people from their sins. And note the wondrous words of the angels to the shepherds. Again, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Now, it's good tidings for God's people, isn't it? It's good tidings for sinners. Great joy to us too, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The very reason for which he was born and he came into this world again is that he might deliver us from our sins. And he's a successful Savior. He accomplished that which he came to do. Christ came to seek and to save that which is lost. Are you lost? Are you a sinner? Scripture says, there's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Oh, I pray that if you don't see yourself as a sinner, that God would reveal himself to you. Because Christ came to save sinners. That's what he came here for. Paul said, who am I chief? I think every believer argues about that with him, doesn't they? Because we believe we're the chief of sinners. Oh, what mercy we've received. And take note of the description of who was born on that day again. Look at verse 11 of Luke chapter 2. Who was born that day? Who was proclaimed to have come into the world? For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The angel described the newborn Savior as Christ. This speaks of his manhood, beloved. For it was as a man that he was anointed, but the angel also called him Christ the Lord, which speaks of his Godhead. He's the God-man. The very proclamation here is a proclamation of the God-man. The Savior of sinners. Very God of very God. The infinite one. Clothed in humanity. Sinless. Perfect. Spotless. And it is he who died on Calvary's cross. It is he who is now risen and seated at the right hand of the Father. And it is he who is over all, God blessed forever. That's who he is. He was no mere man. He's the God-man. God incarnate in the flesh. And there's no good news without Christ. There's no good news without Christ. So marvel at this wondrous truth. The Word of God became a man. The Word of God became a man. The Word of God became a man and died and was buried and rose again. And is right now interceding for his people at the throne of glory. Those he purchased with his own precious blood. He's one chosen out of the people to be exalted to the throne. And he is the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Oh my. And there was no room for him at the inn. None. Behold the Son of God, bone of your bone, flesh of your flesh, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. He hungered in this life. He grew weary as we grow weary. He wore humble garments. He suffered worse poverty than any of us. He had nowhere to lay his head. And note these wondrous words. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Glad tidings. Good tidings of great joy. And truly, this angelic message is still the source of joy to all who hear, for all who are born again of the Holy Spirit of God. The Scripture continues, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Wondrous, wondrous words for the sinner is found here. Again, the question is, are you a sinner? Has God shown you that you're a sinner? Has God shown you that you have a desperate need for Christ? Rejoice, you who are the people of God. Rejoice. For the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners, came into this world to seek and to save you. You. That's amazing, isn't it? It's absolutely incredible. He came to save us from our sins. Be of good cheer, ye who are in the prison house of sin, for he comes to set you free. That's what he did for me. That's what he did for every believer. He set us free from the prison house of sin. And we sing with the angels, don't we? Glory to God in the highest. Oh my. Rejoice, O sinners, for the restorer of the castaways, the Savior of the fallen, is born. And let us ponder this precious truth, you who are the saints of God. Christ is also the preserver of his saved ones. He keeps us. He keeps us from falling. He delivers us from innumerable perils, things we don't even see and know. And he is the perfecter of all whom he preserves, isn't he? Yeah. We're clothed in his perfect, spotless righteousness, and one day we will be ushered into glory to be in his presence forever. Forever. Christ is no partial Savior. He doesn't begin a work and never completes it. No, no. He saves his people from their sins. He saves them from the uttermost, doesn't he? Cleansing and restoring and upholding us. Washing us clean in his precious blood. And then those he saves and washes clean, he will one day present to his Father. Blameless. Spotless. My, let your songs ring with joy for the Savior's been born. And he was born to save his people from their sins. The infinite has become an infant. Wonder of wonders. He who created all things by the word of his power, he who bears the pillars of the earth, has become a man to redeem his people from their sins. To pay the ransom price for their eternal souls. By the shedding of his precious blood. And he's manifested his great love toward us, hasn't he? He has. He's, by him coming into this world, and by him dying on Calvary's cross for us, oh my, he's manifested his love for his people. We're closed with this. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. God with us. God with us. Marvel at this, ye who are the saint of God. Christ came into this world to save you from your sins. And he cried at the cross, it is finished. What a Savior. What a Savior.